Ugh, what is this idiot doing?
KFMC, Mont Bellevue, Houston.
Please stop talking.
ESPN 97.5.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5.
Yeah, come on!
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Prime Social Club. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5. Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's The Usual Suspects on an F-Yeah Friday. Coming to you live from Prime Social on Westheimer in the Galleria area. If you got nothing to do and you're trying to get out of work early, today it's the place to be. And every day if you want to play some poker. Unbelievable environment, beautiful, classy, great food, and of course, incredible games going on right now. Poker tournament. You knock out A.J. Hoffman or Lance Zierlein, you can get a little extra loving for the effort. But it is going to be fun. We're going to be here for the next 3 hours. And then, of course, the Blitz will take you home till 7. Again, Barry out doing comedy. So in is one Cody Stutes to my right. And, of course, back at the studio, keeping us on the air, is Nick Sciarra. Fellas, how we doing? What's going on?
Hello.
I'm doing fantastic, Joel.
Are you?
Yes.
Why is that?
Because it's another day on The Usual Suspects for me, and I'm always pumped.
We appreciate having you. You do a hell of a job filling in, and we like that. Nick, you were pretty pumped up last night. I was watching the Twitter feed, and I knew, because you know I was dialed into football, I knew that you were enjoying what you were witnessing in a game that we will get into, but I did not see that coming. And
I didn't either,
unfortunately, during that process of not seeing that coming, I encouraged, without telling Cody what to do, when he told me the line, that would probably be one to jump all over. I heard Fred and AJ say the same thing. I think Cody, regardless of who he blames, took that advice, and therefore you and I were getting text messages to say, that's not good.
I took a shower last night, and I took a bath. Only one of them
all
was
in
water.
All in one. All right. Yikes. Did not see that hat coming. So we got plenty to talk about because we got the Ed Oliver situation with the U of H game. Not only that, but Derek King, because we got to figure out what's going on with him, a non-contact injury, which may have basically, along with Ed Oliver, ended the U of H season. You've got the Rockets beating the Warriors. You've got the Seahawks-Packers game. You've got coming up Texans-Redskins this weekend that we'll get into. We've got picks coming up in the final hour. So we've got plenty to get to on the agenda. And, of course, you are always a part of the show, as usual, suspects. So you can also reach us 713-780-3776. That's the number to text or call the show. And you can also reach us via Twitter, where it's at Cody_Stutes. It is at the producer Nick, and it's at Pac-Man Joel with a K. Did you just stick to the TV last night?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, I was channel flipping all over because you had the Rockets and the Warriors, which got started like first.
Right.
I was watching just a little bit of college basketball, but not much once the football got going. Houston Tulane, I thought was going to be just a shootout. It was for the U of H side.
Yep.
And then it was almost a square off between the coach and his star player. And then you had the Packers and Seahawks, which was a fantastic game to watch if you didn't have a rooting interest in it. If you had a rooting interest in it, it's probably not that nice. So, yeah, I was channel flipping all over the place.
Nick, you were at the game last night. Interesting vibe throughout, but I know you were doing a great job getting some of those audio clips out there as well. But your takeaway before we break it down in terms of what happened with the game itself, in the fact that the Rockets came out with an announcement yesterday afternoon about the fact that they were parting company with Carmelo Anthony, but yet nothing was done. He wasn't released. He wasn't traded. Because of the late signing, he's not eligible to be traded until December the 15th. So that sets up a situation where what are you going to do, let him sit till then, or are you just going to face the inevitable and cut him and set him free?
I don't know. I mean, my guess is the paperwork process hasn't been complete, and therefore, and they kind of knew that Carmelo Anthony wasn't going to come back, so they figured they'd at least make the announcement and kind of deal with the paperwork process, because I guess they didn't want to continue his season and Carmelo's out and about doing his own thing but still under contract with the Houston Rockets. That's my only guess. I was hoping Daryl Morey would speak, but they just released a statement via email, and Look,
yeah, the media room was open for food too, so that could also put a monkey wrench in all of that. But I mean, the biggest thing is I think he's hoping to get an asset back because you know he's all that he's an asset manager. He loves getting something back, but that's one of those deals where it's not as bad or as drastic as a Rick Smith type move. But when you make a move like that and it's only 2.4 on the books, there's no team in the world that's going to try and help you out or give you something for him because the fact that they know if they don't. You're inevitably just going to have to cut him anyway. And if you have to wait till December 15th to actually work out a trade for him because of the late nature in which he joined the Rockets, it's not doing anybody any good to wait until December the 15th because it's going to hover over everybody's head. It's going to constantly be a point of contention that everybody wants to talk about. And if you're the Rockets and you've won three in a row and you just beat the Warriors, you just want to move on.
This feels a lot. I feel about this and the way they talked about Melo yesterday a lot like I feel last week when Daryl Morey did talk about the situation, when Morey was like, oh, nothing's going on. He's just sick. We're still evaluating. Well, yeah. So, and then this one, it's like, oh, well, we're not getting rid of him just yet. He's just going to hang out on the roster. It's like you said, if you're going to trade him to somebody, what if Melo doesn't want to go there? Like, what?
Like I heard the other day, the number one team that really wants him is Brooklyn. I understand it's going home. He has no interest in playing for the Brooklyn Nets, even if he starts. I mean,
no. He
wants to play in Miami because you got the city, the climate, the environment, and a team that's got a chance to win.
And his buddy Dwayne.
And Dwayne Wade is there. Right. You know, I said all along the number one choice for him should be L.A. because he's got a house there. He knows LeBron very well. And because they're kind of in flux this season anyway, though they're playing good basketball, maybe that's why they haven't picked up the phone. But you would think those are the two premier destinations for him.
My thing with Melo is if you're going to trade him and you can get an asset out of this, like that's the only way you can save face to any extent on this situation is get that one tiny little asset. It's not going to be much. It can't be anything super significant. But if it is something and the Rockets do something with that asset and the other team just doesn't care about, you know, okay, well, we want to trade for Melo regardless of what he feels about our situation. If that's the case, then – okay, fine, do that. I just can't imagine that's going to be the case. Ultimately, it's not going to shock me if this thing is just, okay, we've waived Carmelo Anthony.
Which is what they should do. You know what? If they're going to believe what they've said, and Daryl Morey sufficiently blew smoke up everybody's ass the other day pregame when he was trying to get everybody convinced that nothing was wrong and nothing happened, and I didn't know that butt hurt was an actual injury on an NBA report, but overall that it was gonna, you know, it was fine and he has been the ultimate. If he truly has been the ultimate player in this situation, then set him free,
right,
and let him go and be classy on the other side and realize, hey, it didn't work out, but I'm not going to try and keep you from getting to where you want to go.
If the standpoint's going to be it's not right for a future Hall of Famer to have to come off the bench or play in a role he's not happy with, well, then it's not right to treat a future Hall of Famer like a stock that you're just going to trade later on. Like,
which he hates, by the way. Daryl hates that people know and refer to him as being a guy that treats players like assets. The players know that he treats them like assets because they talk about it in the locker room and all over the place, and he always denies it, but at the end of the day, it's exactly what he treats them like, and that's why it's not a Spurs environment or an Oklahoma City environment where you wonder why guys want to stay and play in small markets like that. Well, because they treat the players like family with a ton of respect, and they're always out looking after their best interest. The Rockets would like you to believe that, but at the end of the day, Daryl, because of his cap management and always trying to treat it, like you said, like a stock exchange, he won't do that. And people notate that. Agents and players both notate that.
No, you have to. You have to. And it's just don't double talk. If we're this is how we want to treat him. This is what's right for him. Well, you know what's right for him is waive him. Let him go pick where he's going to go. Don't trade him to somewhere he might not want to go or something like that. Like don't double talk out of it. If you're going to say we respect this guy, it didn't work, well, then move on. And you know what? The team looks like it's fine without him. Like
starting to get there, right?
Yeah, Chris Paul after, you know, it talked about it like Melo was, you know, gone for good, not just.
Yeah, he
gone
did
the
interview post game with Mrs. Joe Smith and Allie LaForce and Joe Smith of the Astros, and was basically he kind of chuckled like, oh no, this question's coming when asked about it. But you know they're going to ask the two guys about it. You know, of the two, the more diplomatic and honest about it is going to be Chris Paul.
Sure,
but at the same time, when you look at how everything's been handled so far nothing's going to change their friendships. Everybody, you know, no. James and Chris are going to stay friends with, but James and Chris were the two guys besides Daryl that wanted him here, and now that he's not here, and Nick, you can speak to this better than most. The other thing is, why I said Daryl was blowing smoke up everybody's ass was because he went out and lied to everybody. When if you're a reporter and you walk in that locker room and his locker is absolutely bone empty. Bone dry empty. There's nothing left in it. He's cleaned it all out already. He had a community event yesterday, and everybody but him was there for the Carmelo Anthony Foundation. So, I mean, if you want writing on the wall, you want flares, you want smoke signals, it's over, people. It's already done. So if you're trying to hold out to try and get you a draft pick, good luck with that, because no one's given up anything if they know they can get them for free after December 15th.
Yeah, I mean, the Melo experiment is over. You tried to make him, you know, some sort of asset on defense, which obviously wasn't going to happen. You would see the effort, but you would see how he's literally thinking out loud, like while he's playing defense. All right, this is where I need to switch. Like he's literally thinking out loud, and instead of being, you know, a reactor, naturally reacting to the situation. So they knew very quickly that this Melo situation wasn't going to happen. And I think, in my opinion, I have no proof, they approached him about having even a lesser role, and he didn't want to take it. So it's time for him to move on. $2.4 million. It's a low risk. I mean, obviously you would like that $2.4 million to use it somewhere else, but at the end of the day, at least you've tried the experiment. It has not worked. Now you can look ahead and see where else you need to add to the depth chart.
You're right. And Nick, at the end of the day, that's a drop in the bucket for a GM that if he's going to make a move, he's still got plenty of assets. He's got plenty of resources and a lot of cash that he can still move around with pieces to make sure that he can make anything happen. So it's not one of those deals where it's the end of the road and I've got to recoup that 2.4 and get a draft pick in the process, or it's not going to be worth trading or getting rid of Carmelo Anthony. He's gone. So just move on.
Yeah,
it's best for everybody involved.
And don't act like you need that asset when you're getting ready to trade four first-round picks for a guy a couple of weeks ago, or you were rumored to be willing to deal for four first-round picks. Like, you got plenty of assets. Don't wait it out for like a late second-round conditional pick. Like, come on, man. Just move on, clean break, and get on with the rest of your season.
Yeah, sometimes it's better to cut the cord than try and keep it plugged in just because you're hoping to add something in the future that you know you're probably never going to use. Personally, and you may not even use in a trade. So,
oh, and they're taking the banner down over at Toyota Center right now
with Melo on it. Well, it's not quite the size of the one LeBron had in Cleveland, but then again, some people over there are probably shedding a tear. I can see Tad Brown when he's doing his walking around the block for lunch, probably getting a little emotional as that thing comes down. But hey, the Rockets have won three in a row, and that's a good thing. And if you want to chime in and talk about any or all of what's going on in Red Nation, 713-780-3776. You can call, you can text, you can also hit us up on Twitter. It's the usual suspects. This is ESPN 97.5.
It's a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from Prime Social Club, this is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, Barry's out doing some comedy, so Cody Stutes is joining us again today. It almost seems like at least 2 days a week we've got the Cody Stutes experience. Experiment, extravaganza,
any of those things,
sure, whatever. Tosh is here. If you want to see our marketing crew, they are here holding down the fort for you. Lots of freebies and things going on. She's fired up about the U of H win, not so happy about the quarterback situation or Big Ed Oliver. So I guess we already covered Little Rockets, and we'll get into it and we'll bounce around today because it's an FEF Friday. So who gives up? I mean, what I mean is we can talk about football and other things.
There are no rules.
Who asked you? Nick and I make that decision.
Okay, well, if there are rules that you two make, I will abide by.
Nick,
but
let's be honest. We have rules.
We do.
There's some unwritten rules, too, just like baseball, which people either like or don't
like.
Well, if you
don't write them down, I don't know them.
Well, we have to let you know as we go along.
Yeah, or we want you to violate them so we can annihilate you before you have a chance to recover.
That's the whole point.
Violate and annihilate.
That's right.
All right.
See what I did there?
Yeah.
I think I'd back on the Rockets broadcast for a second. So if you missed it last night because you were bouncing around between the Rockets, who we talked about already, and everything else football-wise that we were talking about, there was a little bit of a dust-up last night. The issues with the U of H were the good. They were taking it to Tulane's Green Wave. Angry or not, the wave was no match for the surfers from U of H, who rode the wave right through a big victory, but in the process may have lost their starting quarterback in a non-contact situation. De'Aaron King went down.
Real weird if you watch the video.
Yeah, I saw the replay. So they're waiting on an MRI to see the severity of that. But obviously, if he's done, they probably are too, if they weren't already. But they do have a chance to play for the conference championship. And in the process then, too, it was a little nippy night in Houston. And because of it, some of the guys on the sidelines were wearing some jackets over their uniforms. One happened to be Ed Oliver. The only problem was Ed Oliver wasn't in uniform, because after a spirited and very athletic pregame session where he was on the field running routes, making OBJ catches with one hand and having a good old time, he decided he wasn't fit to play, but then had the parka on the sidelines. And why in God's name Major Applewhite decided to take homage with all this and start dealing with it on the field as it was almost halftime, let's just say all hell broke loose, because he, one, had an assistant trying to get the jacket off. Then he told Ed what was going on and laid hands on Ed to try and help him get the jacket off, which I think he was completely wrong about. And then as they were running off the field to go to halftime, Ed basically let him know he wasn't too pleased as he continued to demonstratively push teammates off of him and basically make his point, to which after the game, Applewhite had this to say about the entire incident.
Well, we just have a rule on the sideline that guys that are participating in the games, and specifically starters, you know, that they have jackets so they can stay cool. And, you know, as a coach who's coached and played for years, you know, you don't want 1,000 guys in a jacket when it's only 50 degrees outside. You want guys to stand up, be off the bench, and be tough. And some guys had them early on. I asked them to take them off. I asked our equipment staff to take them off. And Ed had one, so I asked him to take it off because I don't want to be unfair and unequal to the other guys. And, you know, he got emotional. But he's young, and that's what happens. And he's not playing, and that's hard, and it's difficult. And, you know, I don't hold anything against anyone. You know, I'm just going to visit with him about it. I love him. I want him to be a part of our team. I want him to be with our team. It's really nothing more than that.
Okay, so I want to get you guys' opinions first, because I got a lot on this one. Because just listening to what he had to say, I mean, you got a lot to learn too, Major. And you could have handled it differently, but there's a lot to be said on both sides of the story here.
Second year head coach.
Right.
What kind of – I mean, where's he been where he's got this jacket rule, where it comes from? And like,
well, we were talking about rules on the show.
Yeah.
I mean, if that's something that's known and prevalently placed throughout the locker room and stressed by the coaching staff, that's one thing that we don't know at this point. But first of all, he said, you know, the jacket so the guys could keep cool. I'm pretty sure it was the opposite, to keep warm.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it wasn't that bad outside. But
And then he said he wanted the guys to be tough because he wanted them to get up off the bench and not just be hanging. Wouldn't it make sense the guy that's not playing needs the jacket because he's not warm and he's not staying warm by playing?
Yep.
Or getting up and down and moving around? So let me. I was fired up about this last night because I think Applewhite looks like a total dope about this. And, yes, I know Cougar fans are going to say, well, Ed Oliver this and Ed Oliver that. I get it. You know why Ed Oliver's not playing? Because he's not ready to play yet. And I know he's been medically cleared for a couple weeks, but Ed Oliver doesn't feel like he's ready to play, so Ed Oliver's not going to play.
You believe that in your heart? Because did you see the warm-up session?
Did
you see him clowning around, jumping up and down, sprinting, running
routes? I totally get that. That's different than the wear and tear of 90-plus snaps in the trenches.
But you're saying he's not ready to play yet, and I'm saying, and you're making it sound like that's physical. I'm saying he's not ready to play yet because he's not ready to put his ass on the line and risk injury when he knows he's going to the NFL.
I'm fine with that. I'm fine with Ed Oliver.
But obviously
doing that.
Major Applewhite isn't.
Correct. And if Major Applewhite is not fine with that and he wants to be a hard ass to Ed Oliver, be a hard ass before the game. You know what? I saw you warming up, or they told me you were warming up. You look like you're ready to go. If you're not going to dress out, go in the locker room. Don't be on the sidelines. Don't let him on the sidelines. Because while I understand that Ed Oliver needs to respect the coach-player dynamic and needs to respect his teammates, and I got Cougar fans in my mentions. Well, what if a lineman didn't have a jacket to wear? Okay, that's fine. Major Applewhite didn't need to go over there and act like a baby and try to take the jacket off of him.
Here's the thing. You knew it was on national TV, for one. So you know there's more eyeballs peeping it, and on the tube people are peeping it.
Yes.
If you think that it puts you in a good frame of mind and light with recruits, though, I don't think it does, because I think that, honestly, you're not going to get five-star athletes like Ed Oliver every day. And the message that it sends,
even though you're trying to look like a tough guy
and singling out Ed Oliver, but in the process what you're doing is you're hurting the program, because now recruits that were sitting there on the fence are going, I don't want my coach ever doing that to me, and I don't know what the heck got up his ass, but I don't want a part of that. And it's going to send a lot of negative messages for the program going forward, because I get what you're saying, and I think he should have already had the conversation with Ed and said, look, this isn't a free vacation. If you think you're just going to kick it with your boys and make road trips and clown around and run routes in the pregame, it's a bad look for everybody involved,
yeah.
And it's not something we want to get involved in. But we love you being a part of the program, what you've done while you're here. But if you know, the other thing is, he's seriously thinking about his coaching staff, his program, and the fact that he's still in it for a conference championship. And if you got your best player, I don't think there's any argument there.
No.
Your best player that everybody is saying, well, medically he's not ready, like you were saying, but you see him doing this and he's clowning before the game, and you know, again, national TV, they're going to make a deal of this.
My thing is if he needed to back his coach on that, he didn't have to go over there and physically remove the jacket from Ed Oliver.
That I agree with.
He could have treated him like an adult. He could have treated him like a future first-round NFL draft pick and said, Ed, the rule is starters and active players wear that. Can you take the jacket off? And then if he says, you know what, I don't want to take the jacket off. All right, cool. Well, you just disobeyed a team rule, so go to the locker room. Take the jacket with you and go to the locker room. We'll find another jacket for the starters. You've disrespected your teammates. You've disrespected me, so go to the locker room. Don't walk over there like an adult taking a toy out of a toddler's hands and try to take the jacket
That's
off
what I'm saying.
Him.
If a recruit sees a player being treated like that, they're out.
Yes.
They've got plenty of programs that are not going to worry about one jacket. I heard Tim Tebow say, it's on the University of Houston. They should just buy more jackets. They're a Nike school. They don't have to buy anything,
right?
All right? They're supplied. And it's the jacket is not the issue. The issue is, if, like you said, if there's a team rule and it's been in place and it's been basically given to the players and constantly instilled in their brain, this is a rule, then I get that, all right? But, again, there's a way, a time and a place to do everything and do it the right way. You don't do it out in the open. You don't do it by laying your hands on him. And you don't do it by embarrassing him, which then gets him fired enough to embarrass you and him and the program. And going forward, it's a bad look.
And I get you might be frustrated with him not playing, but you can't let it bubble over in that situation.
But the reason why there wasn't a time and place, because he's frustrated himself. Because even in that presser, he went on to say, I asked other players to remove the jacket as well. Really? Because when you went up to him, did you really ask Ed Oliver? I'm sure my question to him would be like, when you really asked those other players, did you ask him and ask him nicely? Because when we saw you approach Ed Oliver, you can tell you didn't ask him anything. You told him, and you told him aggressively. And while you were telling him, you pulled on his jacket. So the reality is, he went up to him because he was frustrated with the situation. He hasn't reached expectations, and he took it out on Ed Oliver because he was warming up and decided not to play. That's the reality.
Good point, Nick, because here's the thing, too. So I heard someone say, well, he's trying to have the back of one of his staff members and assistant coaches who was being disrespected because Ed wouldn't take the jacket off. Well, again, time and place. Then at halftime, address it, because no one in the general public, no one watching on TV, no announcer in any booth, no media covering the game has any clue about this team rule and would not have anything to say about it. And we wouldn't be talking about it right now if it was handled in the tunnel, or if it was handled in the locker room,
exactly,
or it was handled when they weren't on, you know, in plain sight of cameras and people, period.
No doubt. No
Sorry.
Doubt.
We'll see how that goes forward for the University of Houston, but they did get a win. Now we're waiting on a medical report on Mr. King at quarterback and find out the aftermath of how all this plays out now between Ed and Major. We're going to continue to roll on with more conversations. Still got more football to talk about. Got a Texans preview coming up later in the third hour. We'll have picks. And by the way, again, we're at Prime Social, 7801 Westheimer. Stop by and see us. Say hi to us till 4. Say hi to the Blitz until 7. AJ is currently in the middle of the poker tournament going on. So is Lance Zerline. So they would love to see you. So would we. Stop on by, see us, get in the game, have some fun to start your weekend off the right way. Before we head to break, though, I do want to tell you about the good people at Fitz Roofing. I've been telling you about them for quite a while now. There's a lot of you that are still trying to dig out after the hurricane or fix your roof, whether you have a leak or you just need a whole new roof put on your place. And you faced a lot of shady people trying to do the work. They're storm chasers, deposit thieves, just overall sketchy roofers that want your money up front. They're not going to do good work. And when you want to get them to come back to fix things, they're already gone, and you can't get the job done correctly. That's not going to be the case with Fitz Roofing. Well, why do you say that? Well, one, because they use a great product like CertainTeed Shingles. They're the best in the business, so therefore you know you're getting quality product. And the other thing is, Fitz is a CertainTeed Select Shingle Master company. Only 1% of the roofers in the entire United States meet that criteria to get that elite status. The reason why they have it is they do great work before, during, and after the sale, and quite honestly, they take care of their customers. Their base warranties are longer than your average roofer. Not only do they do all that work, but they also give 10% of their profits back through a nonprofit they set up called Fitz for Families. That means that there are people out there that need roofing help, but they can't afford to pay for it. This nonprofit will take care of that and take care of people in need. They got an A-plus rating on a Better Business Bureau, 5-star ratings on Facebook and Home Advisor. Why wouldn't you give them a call at 832-521-3001, 832-521-3001, or online, fitzroofing.com, F-I-T-Z-roofing.com. Either way, free no-obligation inspection today, and you can go from there. Fitz Roofing, making a difference one home at a time. Behind your collar, what is done in vain.
Truth is hard to swallow, so you pray. Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Prime Social Club. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, welcome back. Usual Suspects, hour number one, three-hour show, ESPN 97.5, coming to you live from Prime Social, 7801 Westheimer. If indeed you want to get out of work early, play a little hooky, have a little fun, and of course play a little poker at one of the finest spots in the entire nation, let alone the city when you talk about playing poker, well, you got to come here to Prime Social. It is a fantastic spot. It is first class. It is everything that you need and more when you want to talk about food and beverage and service, VIP treatment, and great poker games. Stop in and see us till 4. The Blitz will be here till 7. Right now, AJ and Lance are in the middle of the tournament having some fun, playing some poker. You knock them out, you get a little bit of a bounty, so that's fun. Cody Stute's here, excuse me, filling in for Barry Laminack. Barry's out doing comedy in, Nick, is it El Paso this week?
Correct. He is in El Paso. We thought he was in El Paso last week. We messed it up. It's this week.
That's not something I do often, so I'll take the blame for that. I pretty much do that all the time.
El Paso, which is Spanish for the step.
Don't think I knew that or needed to know that, but I appreciate you interjecting that into this fine program.
You know, I'm a former West Texas guy, so I had to fill you in.
It's a fun fact.
Fun fact and your fault. So before the break, we were talking about Ed Oliver, talking about the U of H situation, talking about how messed up this whole thing can be. Now, I do want to point this out because Eric's on the phone. He wants to talk about this as well, and we're going to get him in here. But this is one of the issues I have, too, because this overall is a situation that never was one. It obviously had the hometown boy does good, feel good story. He wants to play with his brother. He wants to play at U of H. He's going to stay at home. All great stuff, and it tells a lot of recruits a lot of positive things about the University of Houston. Well, if that's the case, don't go and do a preseason or early season interview with Sports Illustrated, Ed, and make the following comment. I quote, in almost every recruiting interview, they asked me, what's your dream school? My answer, LSU. I was almost a Louisianimal. I still hate that I didn't go there, but I can't be in two places at once. I may go get my degree from LSU just to be able to say I went there. What the hell is going on? I mean, you wanted to play with your brother. You stay in Houston. You play. You have the unbelievable season under Tom Herman. Everybody's feel-good story of the 4 years or 3 years or however long he's going to be here. And then all of a sudden, it all just continues to unravel with all of this. And now we are where we're sitting currently, and it's a mess. It's an unadulterated mess.
Nobody looks good coming out of this. Oliver looks bad. Applewhite looks bad. And nobody looks good. Like there was a clear win-win situation for everybody. Because if first of all, like you said, we never see this. It never happens if Applewhite handles it better.
Right.
You know, we also never see this. It never happens if Ed Oliver, who's seemingly cleared, plays in the game last night. This never happens. But since he didn't handle it poorly, Oliver looks bad because he blew up on his coach and he was apparently breaking a team rule. Applewhite looks like a goof because he went over there and look, I understand everyone's going to say, oh, it's a team rule and you don't want all these other guys to feel a certain way and this and that. I get it. And some people are going to disagree with me. There's different rules for different people.
No question about
There are different rules for different people. And if you're one of the people that gets upset about that, you're one of the people that doesn't have a rule that's different for you. Okay? Ed Oliver is the most highly touted player to step on foot in that campus and to play football for that team in the past few years, maybe ever as far as the recruiting period goes and things like that. Okay?
Andre Ware won a Heisman. I just want to let you know.
There are different rules for – right, I understand that. But as far as like
the
stars and the recruiting
yep.
and you know this era, the modern era, okay, the past 10 years, 15 years, stuff like that. And so there are different rules for him, and he should be handled differently because that's the real world. That's the real world. You'd love to handle all 90-something kids the same way, but you can't. That's not how it works.
Look, it's the bottom line, and it's, you know, we always talk about coaches treat players differently. Some need to be coddled. Some need to be kicked in the ass. You get all of that. But even I heard someone on ESPN this morning going, hey, team rules, everybody gets treated the same. No, they do not. Do you think Tua gets the same treatment at Alabama, though Nick wants to try and push it that way, as your fourth-string center?
Nope.
Absolutely not. And he shouldn't be because, you know what, your program isn't being made by your four-string center and him being a great student and a good all-around dude and a guy that's going to graduate on time. Your program's being made by winning football games, getting five-star recruits, and maintaining over a lengthy period of time a level of excellence on the football field, which is going to get you prominence throughout national television, the rankings, the bowl games, bringing a lot of money into the program. Ed Oliver was a big reason why Tom Herman and his crew was able to do what they did to put U of H back on the map and do the things that they did. Now, they had the Cinderella season a few years ago. It's kind of not worked out the way they wanted it to since. But you know that part of the reason why Major did what he did besides being on national TV is the fact that he realizes this situation, this season is slipping through his fingers, although it could be salvaged with a conference championship.
Sure.
But he also realizes that he's got to be a realist. His best player who could help him get there is gone. It's over. He's not going to risk it. Too many guys are chop blocking him and dirty shotting him already to create some of the injuries that he's had. To risk any more for what? A scholarship that he's not going to want to see through? And if he does, he wants to go to LSU. This dude just wants to collect his check, get his draft status, and go play professional football.
And to me, Joel, the moment he got injured, the moment that Navy guy dove into his knee and it bent like that, Ed Oliver probably should have just Bosa'd it.
I completely agree.
Just done like Nick Bosa and said, you know what, thank you. Thank you, everybody. And I know the injuries were totally different, and Bosa likely wasn't back until late in the season, maybe at all anyway. And Oliver seemingly could have been back for this game or could be back soon. So I know they're different, but he should have just moved on. But because he's fostered some sort of relationship with the University of Houston and with Major Applewhite and his teammates, he stuck around, and that's a good look for the program, and that's a good look for Cougar football that he stuck around, and then he gets treated like that. And then that happens, and then he looks bad, and now you got these old stodgy scouts that are going to say, well, I mean, he blew up on his coach on the sideline and stuff like that. Like, it's a bad look for everybody. And with Applewhite, I mean, he'll never get a five-star recruit to talk with him ever again, much less come to University of Houston now.
All right, Eric's on hold. He wants to get in here on Ed Oliver. Eric, what's up?
Hey, guys. How y'all doing? Y'all think this is a new trend? I remember players used to sit out the bowl games, and that's why I'm on the fence about paying college players, because if they're not going to pay, then why should you play them? And do y'all ever see a starting quarterback, ever sitting out 6 or 7 games just because of his draft status?
Well, here's the thing, Eric, and appreciate the call. Look, I mean, you haven't seen a quarterback do it yet, but you've seen Leonard Fournette. You've seen Jadeveon Clowney. You've seen Bosa at Ohio State this very season. It's a trend that's on the uptick. You're going to continue to see it more and more. And if there's a five-star or an NFL top five level lottery pick quarterback that gets with a team that either offensive line has issues, the team's not performing like they were maybe a preseason chance predicted to be in the Final Four, and all of a sudden they're underperforming, you know they're not going to get there, I guarantee in the future you will see a quarterback do it.
Right, and the next time a quarterback's taking the physical wear and tear that a star defensive tackle's taking, then we can have that conversation, but that's never going to be the case. That's why QBs can stick it out. And the physical wear and tear on a D lineman, six or seven college games where you're getting mauled and destroyed, that might be worth a year or two in the NFL, a year or two of your true earning potential.
No doubt. All right, we'll continue to roll on. We talked a little Rockets. We'll get into more of that. We just got done going over the U of H situation. And if there's something on your mind you want to get off your chest, join the show, 713-780-3776. You can text that number as we're checking text messages. You can call or you can hit us up on Twitter. Back with more. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Fox, so love pie in your face,
living in and out of a big fat suitcase. ESPN 97.5. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Prime Social Club. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, Barry's out, so Cody Stutes is in as we are at Prime Social, 7801 Westheimer. Stop by and see us. Poker tournament going on right now. AJ Hoffman is in it. So is Lance Zierlein. Got a gentleman here already sporting some of the new t-shirts. Looking good. Loving ESPN. We love that. You can stop by. Our promo crew is right inside the entrance. They got plenty of stuff like those t-shirts to give away. And, of course, you can have a great start to the rest of your weekend or the start of your weekend and the rest of your day by stopping in here. 7801 Westheimer. Greatest place in Houston to play poker. Great food, great beverage, great environment. We were talking to Ed Oliver before the break. The other quote that was absolutely fantastic, and I love the fact that we've got comedians in the peanut gallery in front of me that are playing poker and also trying to chime in like a doorbell, like everybody cares what he has to say, but I think they care more about the fact that personal hygiene should be stressed. So the other quote from Ed Oliver in this whole thing, which will disturb some people too, was the fact that he said, "I was going to play football with my brother," referring to when he was coming out, said, "If he wasn't already at the University of Houston, I wouldn't be here." Just don't say it.
Yeah, and just to clarify, in case anybody's tuning in late, which what's wrong with you, this is from a September article.
In Sports Illustrated.
In Sports Illustrated for their college football preview. Like, that's the thing. Is like, he may have said those things and felt those things, and it may have been annoying or even slightly difficult for the University of Houston to handle that situation. But at the same time, the dude's still strapped up on Saturdays, put the helmet on, put the jersey on, had his name on the back, had Houston on the front, and went out there and played ball. So like, I get that he had those sentiments and that maybe it's not the best thing in the world that he voiced those, but it wasn't like he's sitting there saying, "You know what, I fully regret my decision." He wasn't saying that, and he certainly wasn't acting that way. It's a really unfortunate situation, because 4 weeks ago, before the Navy game, when it was still October, you're looking at University of Houston as a potential New Year's Day bowl team, and that thing has just fallen apart. And Oliver,
if you don't
got
lose
hurt,
to SMU either, you're still in it.
Well, you still got a shot, you know, because okay, are they going to put Utah State on, or are they going to put Houston, who a couple years ago upset Florida State? Like, you still had a shot. Now, obviously, you'd have to get through Central Florida to do it, but now, at Oliver's hurt, he's probably not playing again for the rest of the year. And if he does, kudos, because then they buried the hatchet and cooler heads prevailed on everything. But De'Aaron King's hurt. I don't know what they're going to do at quarterback going forward. Are they going to go young guy, whatever? And you look, you're staring at a schedule where, okay, now you're headed and you were going to be one of the teams that sort of took care of UCF and maybe righted everything that is wrong. Okay, if UCF loses to UH, then they don't have an argument about the college football playoff. And now Houston, you're like, okay, they're limping in to a conference championship probably now, and everything's falling apart. And oh, by the way, you got a administration that puts a lot of pressure on the head coach to be the next big thing in college football.
Yeah, I mean, it's a messy situation overall for a program that a couple years ago looked like not only were they going to be on the scene of all national championship talk with Tom Herman and the way that they were slaying big-time opponents, including in the bowl game against Florida State when Florida State was something, to where they are now. And it's just a bad look. And you want the U of H to stay on the cusp of being mentioned with the big-time schools in college football. You want them to continue to get the recruits and fill up the stadium and do the things like Calvin Sampson's trying to do on the basketball side. And this is not a look that's going to help them try and stay on that path and on that road. And you hope that there's a way that you can recover from it. And I'm not sure, because you remember, from the way the season even started, with the fact that when you brought Briles' kid in, that everybody was already up in arms. And you were supposed to be the offensive guru. You were supposed to be the guy that learned under Herman, ran the same system. You could make this thing work. Well, you know, you kind of crapped the bed. And so you did some things and avoided some ethical and moral issues that when you talk about rules and unwritten rules and of the university and the program, kind of skipped over all that just to try and make sure that you bettered your program. And in the process of trying to better your program, you started winning more games, but people were still critical of you. And now you've got this look, the way you're finishing the season. It's not a good look at all for Major Applewhite's program.
What's the best case scenario going forward for both Oliver and Applewhite in this situation? Kiss and make up and everything's fine and they're joking around and hanging out in the pregame before the next game. And then
Does Ed Oliver really need to do that, though?
That's what I'm saying. But what's the best case scenario? Best case scenario is they kiss and make up and Oliver plays again for the Cougs, right?
No, I think if you're rational about the situation, the best case scenario is you kiss and make up, and whether you do it publicly, you also do it privately first, and you basically say, we've mutually agreed that it's best for Ed to focus on being drafted in the NFL and move forward because of the risk of injury, and for our program, it avoids us having to talk about it, deal with it, or be distracted by it as we focus on trying to still win the conference and get into a big-time bowl game. And then you walk away. Because I don't think anybody rationally, when looking at this situation, thinks that it's in the best interest of Ed Oliver to continue playing college football and risk all the money that's on the table.
Yeah, because if he blows his knee out,
right.
I mean, you're talking about a Miles Jack, Jalen Smith-like fall where the guy goes from, top of the first to probably top
second
of the second.
Or blower.
Then you go from 5 years on your contract to 4 years. The money's a lot less. So, okay, now what's the worst-case scenario? Oliver doesn't say anything. It's scorched earth on the way out the door. He does the most.
Worst case scenario is it continues from where it started last night. Ed Oliver comes out and makes some sort of a statement to say, look, it's been a half-assed program ever since I've gotten here. The way I was treated and the way I was talked to, I don't wish upon anybody. It's a nightmare being here, and therefore I'm done. I know it's my hometown team. My brother's not here anymore, and now neither am I. That's the worst case scenario. That's how this plays out even worse for the University of Houston and Major Applewhite.
That would be so horrible for not just
you asked. I answered.
I understand, and I wanted to know. That'd be so horrible, not just for Major Applewhite to go through, but every one of the kids who's still playing University of Houston Cougar football
or has aspirations of
or
playing
have aspirations
there, right?
Of playing
or had
it.
Them one of three or four teams that they were considering going to next year and beyond. It's a bad look because, look, we all know the recruiting hotbed that Houston is. And we've said this, and I've said this. I've had this conversation with Calvin Sampson before he took the job at U of H. But the bottom line is it is such a recruiting hotbed in football and basketball that if the U of H just got five of the top 25 in their own backyard without ever having to lead the city and recruit, they would be in a really good situation. And you've got local kids at big-time programs now considering U of H as well as UT and the Aggs and the state schools that you thought U of H would never be in the same simple conversation with. They're getting that love and that look because Tom Herman got the ball rolling. And even though he skipped, the fact is his program still isn't to a level where everybody in Houston is just automatically looking at UT first. Jimbo Fisher now is on the horizon and on the map at with the Aggs, so that's going to change things a little bit. So you got to get going quickly to make sure you maintain where you've been, or you're going to fall right back where you were, and you don't want to be there, which is third fiddle or worse.
To avoid the worst-case scenario, what do you think Applewhite has to do with all – I mean, let me ask you this.
They better be meeting right now.
Right. They've talked today. I hope they've talked today. Yep. I hope Manager Applewhite's realized he needs to go have a conversation
better,
with him
no doubt.
Today. They've talked today. bygones be bygones. Hey, do you think you want to play again for us? You know what? No, I don't want to risk the injury. All right, well, how do we handle this? How do we both look good going forward?
Because help me help you. Because from a program standpoint, the best thing you can do is say exactly what the Rockets did when they lied about Carmelo Anthony. And that is just come out and say, hey, Ed's been the role model and model student and student athlete when we've had him here. He's done a lot of great for this program, a lot of good for us here, both from an educational standpoint on campus and also all the things he's done for football. And so we just want to thank him for everything he's done and wish him the best and do what we can to help him get to the NFL. That's what you do, but say at the same time, Ed, if I say that, that's going to clear up a lot of the questions you're going to get from the scouting combine on of, are you a problem child? Are you going to be difficult to deal with?
Yeah.
Are you going to do what you did on the sidelines again? Because that's not what we can deal with in the NFL. So I think that's where it's a help me help you situation.
And I don't like people being in this situation, but the people that need the help the most in this situation, Major Applewhite and the Houston football program, because like you said, Oliver goes scorched earth. It's a real bad look for a lot of people. He plays the game. They play the game with him. Everything's hunky-dory, and nobody knows any different. And so when that next big-time recruit has Major Applewhite sitting in his living room with his mom and dad, and he says, what happened with that Oliver? He'd be like, oh, well, you know what? Ed and I got into it that one night, but the next day we had lunch, we cleared it all up, and now Ed's a top-10 draft pick in the NFL. Don't you want to be a top-10 draft pick in the NFL coming out of the University of Houston? And the kid's going to be like, wow, yeah, I love that. That's great. But like you said, if it's scorched earth, you're not playing the game, you don't fix this.
But Jimbo Fisher gave me a jacket and a sports car.
Well,
just throwing it out there. That could change things, too.
What, does your brother want to come play here?
That's right. Yeah, how's the family situation? Because, like, you look at Alabama, Tua has a brother. He's one of the top quarterbacks in the nation, and now he's going to Alabama, too. So you get a brother, and you get a brother, and everybody gets a brother if you join the right program. All right,
you can be a part of a very big family if you come to the University of Houston.
That's right. And I meant that in the relatives way.
You'll have lots of brothers.
All right, so hour number one in the books. 2 hours still to go of the big show. If you want to join the show, we'd love to have you. 713-780-3776, where you can call and text. You can also hit us up via Twitter. And also, if you want, we'll continue to talk about other things with that situation with Oliver or the Rockets, but we still got plenty of football to get to as well with the National Football League and our picks. And other things. But before we get to break, I do want to tell you the Rockets are in town. They won last night. It was a big win against the Golden State Warriors. They still got two games on this homestand before they hit back on the road. And you can be a part of them because the Rockets are hosting the Sacramento Kings tomorrow night. The first 1,300 fans in attendance get a Rockets mouse pad courtesy of BBVA Compass. Doors open at 5:30, and it goes from there. It is going to be a great night here in Houston, Texas, tomorrow night. And with the Thanksgiving holiday coming up between the Kings and that game tomorrow night and Wednesday night, we start the Thanksgiving holiday a little early with Blake Griffin and the Detroit Pistons. There's a lot of great specials that are being brought to you by Rocket and the sponsors that love to support the Houston Rockets so that you have a good time and have a great deal. The Thanksgiving special, 2 tickets, 2 hot dogs, 2 bottles of beer, soda, or water for 1 low price. Visit Rockets.com and secure your tickets because they're going fast. You know, the Rockets are playing well, so more and more people are amped up and wanting to be a part of Toyota Center and the environment when the Rockets are playing. Saturday night they play at home. Wednesday night they play at home. You can be there. And for all your ticket information and everything going on for the Rockets, as always, check Rockets.com.